And I don't know if this is going to quite fit right now after that, but anyway, we'll see how we go. Just want to share with you a little bit of a reading from a book by Max Licato. He's a great Christian author, and I love reading his books. I just find it so easy to understand him, and actually sort of feel like I do a lot of what he does to a certain extent, except for write awesome novels and or expounds God in that way. He's actually a pastor, but I just want to share a couple of thoughts of his with you this morning. And I want you to, if possible, put yourself in his shoes. You might actually identify with other people in the story, but to start with, I want you to try and pop yourself in his shoes, and you'll pick up his shoes in just a second. So I tried to blame my behaviour on the holiday traffic. The Thanksgiving weekend had turned the streets near the shopping mall into controlled chaos. He lives in America. I tried to blame my misdeeds on my state of mind. I was driving to my in-law's house, having spent most of the day helping to plan a funeral for Denilyn's, which is his wife, ever-weakening mother. I tried to blame my poor reaction on the reckless U-turn made by the teenager. He nearly hit me. The traffic arrow invited me to make a right turn into the busy avenue. As I did, the teenager made a sudden, unexpected hairpin turn around the median strip. We nearly shared paint. I honked at him. I'll confess, my honk wasn't a polite one. It wasn't a, excuse me, I'm over here. It was a, what do you think you're doing? Kind of reaction. So, of course, he was driving a low-riding, wide-wheeled, two-toned, exhaust-puffing jalopy that dated back to the 1980s, in need of a muffler and a tone-down of the music. It also needed a more mature passenger. As the car accelerated, a long arm came out of the passenger side window that gave me a backhanded, one-fingered wave. Grrr! I sped up. Thanks to a traffic light, I was soon side by side with the perpetrator. He still had his window down, and so I lowered mine. Are you picturing yourself yet? Are you Max or are you the teenager, baby? He looked up at me. He wore his baseball cap shoved over the mop of black hair, and the brim of the cap was, of course, tilted sideways. And so was the smirk on his face. You need to watch that wave, son. Now, in an ideal world, he would have apologised. I would have wished him a Merry Christmas. And I wouldn't be telling you this story. But it's not an ideal world. When I told him to watch that wave, he smirked even more and demanded, make me. Make me? When was the last time I heard someone say, make me? Middle school? High school? In the locker room? Maybe it was the scuffle after a grad party? Make me? Well, that's what teens say. Of course he was a teen. He didn't have a whisker on him. He was a skinny, floppy-haired, testosterone-laden, adolescent who was feeling his oats riding shotgun in his buddy's muscle car. Whereas for me, I'm a 60-year-old pastor, not me personally, just remember that. I'm a 60-year-old pastor who writes Christian books, speaks at conferences, and feels a call to make the world a better place. I should have raised my window, but I didn't. I looked down at him, literally and metaphorically, and said with my own version of a smirk, what did you say? Make me, he repeated. Now the saints in heaven were saying, drive away, Licato. Common sense was urging, drive away, Licato. The better angels of the universe were prompting, drive away, Licato. I didn't listen. The dare of the punk activated the punk inside me. The punk that I hadn't actually seen in decades. I snarled. Okay, where do you want to go? This 60-year-old pastor. Are you picturing yourself still as Max Licato, or are you back at the teenager? His eyes widened to the size of hamburger patties. He couldn't believe that I'd said that. I couldn't believe that I'd said that. You can't believe that I said that. When he realised I was serious, he became the same. Let's settle this at the shopping mall. Are you kidding? I said. There are too many people in the shopping mall. Follow me. What? All of a sudden, I was an expert on where to go to duke it on out. The light turned and I accelerated. In my rearview mirror, I could see the two boys were engaged in a heated exchange. I imagine. What do you think? I don't know. What do you think? Well, he looks pretty cranky. Yeah, he might have a weapon or something. By the time I reached the next stoplight, they were nowhere to be seen. They must have turned into the parking lot. Boy, was I relieved. I drove the rest of the way to my in-law's house asking myself, did you seriously just dare a kid to fight? Are you crazy? Now, this is the bit that I want you to get. I'd like to blame my behaviour on my state of mind. The stress of the traffic, the driver who nearly hit my car, or the passenger who pushed my buttons. But I can blame my bizarre behaviour on only one thing, the punk inside me. For a few minutes at a stoplight near a shopping mall, I forgot who I was. And I forgot who the teenager was. In that heated moment, he wasn't someone's son. He wasn't a creation of God. He wasn't a miracle. He wasn't fearfully and wonderfully made. He was a disrespectful jerk, and I let him bring out the disrespectful jerk in me. The Bible has a name for this punkish tendency. Sin. I have a sin nature and so do you. Merry Christmas. Under the right circumstances, you will do the wrong thing. You won't want to. You'll try not to, but you will. Why? Because you have a sin nature. You were born with it. We all were. Now, our parents didn't teach us how to throw temper tantrums. Or did they? No, pretty sure they don't. Although it's tempting every now and then to do the same thing back to them. We weren't born... We weren't shown how to steal a cookie or the lolly off our sibling. We weren't actually sent to a class on pouting or passing the blame. But we can do both before we're even actually out of nappies. The heart of the problem is the problem of the human heart. Each of us entered the world with a sin nature, and so God entered the world to take it away. I want you to think for a moment what that actually looks like for you. Does that bring you peace, or does that bring you a sense of dread, a sense of fear, a sense of stress? You see, when I think of peace, when I think of what it looks like, it doesn't look like driving up to the marketplace at midday on any day between now and Christmas, or even after when you count Boxing Day. That's not peace. It's a bit of craziness, right? Peace doesn't feel like actually getting to sit and sing Silent Night. I still wonder if Silent Night was really silent. A doctor always wants to hear a baby cry, so there's times where I question about whether Jesus actually cried or not, but anyway. It's not sin to cry, so it's okay if he did. You see, we picture peace as being something that, as Andrew mentioned earlier, is always quiet. We picture that if we're perfect, if we do all the good things, I've been good, if I make sure all that sort of happened, I'll have peace. If I have happiness, I'll have peace. If I know that I've just have this little bit extra, or if I do these little extra things, or if I make sure this person's happy, I'll have peace. And yet we can never have peace while we're trying to make up for something that we can't get all on our own. Jesus actually makes sure that he comes into our lives so that we get to see him for who he is. You see, there's a man in the Bible, which is actually just after the birth story that we share, that we've been sharing this morning, that is waiting at the temple because the Spirit of God leads him to the temple. He's been going there often, but this particular day he's been sent to the temple. It's actually 8 days after the birth of Jesus. And this man named Simeon, he's quite old. He probably, you know, how well he moves or sees or hears or anything like that, we don't know. It doesn't tell us that. It just shares that he's older than you or me. And he's sitting there and he's patiently waiting. He's been waiting all of his life to see the Messiah, to see Jesus. Now, there would have been jerk times for him too. He probably did and said things that he shouldn't have. But at this particular point, he'd been sitting there patiently waiting for Jesus. And all of a sudden, Mary and Joseph come in with the baby Jesus, ready to dedicate him back to God, as was the custom, and to have him circumcised. Now, that doesn't sound peaceful either, just saying. And I'm not even a male, but, you know, that's still part of what needed to happen. And yet Simeon's sitting there, and he's been led by the Spirit. He's loved God. He's been waiting for the Messiah. He's even been told by God that he's not going to die until he sees the Messiah. And here is Mary and Joseph walking in with this baby. And all of a sudden, Simeon takes this baby in his arms, Jesus, praises God and says, and this is in verse 29 of Luke chapter 2, "Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory to your people, Israel." Simeon knew. He knew because God had told him that he wasn't going to pass away until he sees the Messiah. He had a peace about him that knew that he was going to get to have this. Now, most of us don't get that. Most of us don't necessarily know when our time is up or when something's going to happen. Most of us at this time of year feel anything but peaceful, right? But here's Simeon, 8 days after this miraculous birth that is anything but big and glamorous and expensive and all those sorts of things. Jesus born in a manger, in a stable, in a feeding trough of donkeys and horses and cows and all those sorts of things. Doesn't sound peaceful either. But here's Simeon sitting there, patiently waiting to see Jesus. And he was blessed enough to be able to see that. And so Jesus actually can work in our stressful situations and he can bring about that peace for us. And so I just want to leave with you a couple of quick thoughts to help you have peace over these next few days, whatever these next few days look like for you. One is, first question, how many of us have to-do lists? Anyone run a to-do list for themselves? Yeah, a couple? All right. If you don't, that's okay. But if you do, I've constantly got a to-do list. And so this made sense for me. It's constantly not filled either. There's always things that I've still got to do. But as well as having your to-do list, or if you don't have one, you don't have to start one. I'm not telling you that. But make a to-be list. Make a to-be list as well as a to-do list. So if you've got, you know, to do, you've got to put the washing out on the line, or you got to pay such and such a bill or whatever, make a to-be list. And so on your to-be list, you could put something like, be more kind, be generous, repair that relationship that we can, be a peacemaker. And so whenever you look at your to-do list, look at your to-be list as well, so that we can actually be more like Jesus. Now remember, those are things that aren't going to earn us into heaven. Mrs. Claus taught us that before. We can't earn our way, but this is a way of helping bring peace within our own lives as well as the people around about us. The second thing I want to encourage you to do these next few days and even into weeks, months, and possibly even into years is to do a peace review. And this is something where we can sit back. So a lot of people are really good at journaling. I'm not. But if you're good, if you like writing or you like journaling, you'll possibly like this and find it really easy. If you don't, I want to encourage you to at least try it for the next couple of days. I'm going to try it. We'll see how we go. I got given a journal for our Kris Kringle at youth, so I'm going to try and do this. But do a peace review. And that is actually picture in your mind the day that's just been. Picture in your mind what's happened during the day. And then see where you've felt God's peace in your own life and in the life of the people around you. And picture where you haven't been peaceful. You might have honked your horn too loudly at someone because they cut you off and nearly hit your car. It might have been an argument with Telstra on the phone because, you know, you had to wait for an hour to talk to them or something like that. Could be anything. So just picture what's happened in your day and write down. You don't have to write in detail. I'm not going to test you on this. So it's not like an exam or anything like that. But it's a way to recognise where God's actually been bringing peace about in our own lives and in the lives of others, as well as the times that maybe we fall into being a jerk like Max did. A time where we just lose track of who we really are and what God's really done in our life already, and how we want to try and be like Simeon and wait to see the Messiah and be so grateful that we've been able to say, I've seen your salvation for all the people. And instead we've sort of maybe given the finger, or we've yelled at someone, or we've told them that we don't like them, or we've done nothing for them. We've just ignored them. And so picture that each day. And write down how you feel. Write down maybe a commitment that you don't want to do those sorts of things anymore. And then this time next year, look back on it and see how you've grown. See how God has changed and challenged you. Because at this time of year, it can feel anything but peaceful. We are promised that Jesus is the Prince of Peace, and yet often it can feel anything but peaceful. And so I just want to encourage you in those few things. Of course, if you haven't actually accepted Jesus into your life yet, if you are still questioning anything about this at all, and you're still sitting there going, well, you know, it's an old story from a few thousand years ago, and, you know, yeah, it's great to get presents and chocolate and all those sorts of things, but really, does it mean anything to me? Ask a few of us around about the place and we'll tell you how Jesus actually makes a big difference in us, because he made a big difference in Simeon and so many others' lives, and he wants to do the same for you by loving you and showing you what he means, he wants to mean to you and what you mean to him. Let's just pray together. God, we do thank you for today. We thank you that during this time, even in this hour, we're able to sit and feel peaceful. We're able just to maybe have a whole bunch of things racing through our minds, and yet your words are still speaking to us, Lord. You want to encourage us not to always fall into the trap of being a jerk, of doing things that we know we shouldn't. Lord, we just ask that you will take away those desires in each of us to do the wrong thing in the right circumstance. Lord, there are times where that just trumps us and we don't want it to. And so, Lord, thank you for coming as a baby for us. Thank you for living the life that you did and dying the death that you did so that we can actually live the kind of life we know you've planned for us. It doesn't always make sense. We don't always know what it's going to be, but God, you love us. And if we don't yet know you, Lord, put one person in our life so that we can seek you and get to know you. We ask this in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. We're going to sing a song together, O Come, Let Us Adore Him. And as we do that, there is a chance that if you want to come and pray, you might want to come and talk to God about the fact that you've never met him before, or you're still wanting to know who he is. You might want to do that right now. There's a few spots to come and pray. You can, of course, do it right where you're sitting as well. And someone can come and pray with you if that's what you'd like. So we'll sing this through together. Just while we have the music continue to play, I just want to encourage you to stop and listen to what God might be saying to you this morning. Can you truly say that you're able to bring yourself to adore him? That he is worthy? Is that something that is true within your soul, or is it something that you're still battling with? And because God will actually talk to you about that. Take these moments to listen to him and see what he has to say to you this morning.